To John chapter 3, and I'm excited about these messages because through them you're going to learn some things that will keep you in good stead as you walk through life. And I'm going to read John chapter 3 in verse 16, 17, and 18. I invite you to read along. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Praise God. And let's turn over to Psalm 34, and let's read the first three verses of Psalm 34 together. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that is exciting to me with these scriptures is that these verses, it says, I will bless the Lord at what? At all times. Not some of the time, but all the time. And he knows, and I'm going to just, you know, we're going to elaborate a little bit on this, but all times means what? All the time. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, I got to go to work, I have to cook, I have to, you know, get up, I've got children, I've got responsibilities. All times means at all times. And that just means that you don't go through the day not thinking about or saying thank you. I mean, husbands and wives do it. They'll call, I'm not saying everybody does this, but I know plenty that do. They'll just pick up the phone during the day and say, hi, honey, just wanted to say thank you, love you, bye. Don't they? Yeah, they do. That's what I'm talking about. That you don't go through the day and don't say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for getting me to work safe. Thank you for providing. Thank you for peace and joy. You just don't go through the day and just say, well, you know, you don't give thanks to God. That's my point. And so it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise. And just the same way that you would love a mate, you would express that. You love God, you express that at all times. You give him thanks. You give him praise. So it's a lifestyle of what we do. And this is something that's not just in your mind, but it's in your heart. That's good. It's in your mind and in your heart. But he says, I will bless the Lord where? Not in your heart, in your mouth. And so it's something to be expressed. You know, I've heard this so many times. You say, you know, honey, it's nice that you love me. I just want to hear it once in a while. You know, it's nice that you express it, but now say so. You know what I'm saying? And so God's the same way. He wants us to hear us say so. We love you, Lord. He wants to hear us express our love. And along with that, I'm going to kind of hook up where, just pick up where I was here last. There was a scripture, and I spent some time, and I want to use this to segue off of today. Or pick up off of. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. There was a scripture that I used in Proverbs 15. And I'm going to read this from the... It's actually from the Living Letters translation. And it says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. That's what this translation says. Griping brings discouragement. So you have an option every day that you go through life. You can either thank God or you can walk through life griping about all the stuff you're faced with. And this says here, in this particular translation, gentle words cause life and health, Proverbs 15:4. Griping brings discouragement. Now look at verse 10 in chapter 10 of Corinthians. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were what? Destroyed of the destroyer. Now, let me read this in some other translations, and maybe it makes it a little more plain. The Good News translation says, we must not complain as some of them did. Well, they sure did complain. They mumbled and grumbled their way through the desert and died. And it says, we must not complain as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the angel of death. The Message Bible says we must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. So you can see right here from this scripture verse that griping and complaining and discontent opened the door to the destroyer, opened the door to the devil. Now, where is that based on? Well, first we see it in the scripture, but in Proverbs 18 it says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so you can open the door to death or life with your words. And they did in this case. So we ought not to complain. And we'll explain further. You have a choice to make whether or not you can bless God at all times or you complain. And he already knows you don't like going through something. But I don't like this. He already knows that. He already knows what you're thinking. He knows you don't like it. He knows you don't like being in the middle of it. But what he's also doing is he's looking for you to come to him and say, Father, help me. I don't like this. Express it. Say, God, I don't like this. It's not comfortable. I don't like this. I don't like what's going on. Help me. Show me what to do. Then he'll put his thoughts in your thoughts as to what to do and how to approach it. Now, back up and go to to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Here's the downside of not thanking God. See? Go to Romans chapter 1, and you can see here. And now we're familiar with this particular set of scriptures because it begins way back up. In verse 17, it says, therein, he's talking about the gospel and it being the power of God, and that, excuse me, and we're not ashamed of it, and the just shall live by faith. And then it continues, says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness. And then it says, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. So these are people that either knew God or knew of God, and it says here that are manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. See, so these are people that God showed some things to. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, see, we could all we could put ourselves in the same boat. We knew God. We know God. And it says here, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now that's bad. Neither were thankful. Now what does it say? But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So when you find yourself getting over into not being thankful, your heart can be darkened. And what does that mean? You complain, you gripe, I don't like this. And what happens is, instead of you going to God for the solution and He enlightening you as to how to solve it, you get darker and darker because you're complaining about a problem and you're not seeking God. You're not asking Him for help. So you can get darker in the problem because you're not seeking Him. Neither are you thankful. Some of the other translations, the Bible in basic English says, because having the knowledge of God, they did not give glory to God as God and did not give praise. They didn't give Him praise. This is verse 21. This is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It says, for though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. See, when you don't show God gratitude, your own thinking can be darkened. You know, I'm going to do it my way or this way, instead of getting God's assistance. See? And the 20th century New Testament says, because although they learned to know God, yet did they not offer Him as God either praise or thanksgiving. See, they learned to know Him as God, but then they didn't give Him, show Him gratitude or praise or thanksgiving. And it says, this translation says, their speculations about Him proved futile, and their undiscerning minds were darkened. See? So we can find ourselves in the same boat if we're not careful to give Him praise and thanksgiving at all times. See, we all can fall into the same trap real easy, and when we get over being consumed with problems of life and not give Him thanks, we get in a ruck. So unthankfulness can darken the understanding. And the more you gripe, the less you see. The more you gripe about something, the less you see. And the more you gripe, the less you see things you should be appreciating. Instead of just saying thank you, you're griping about it. Nah, why do we have to go through this? Why do we have this? Instead of just being, well, thank you. Thank you for having this. You see. And the more you gripe, the less you aware you are of what is going on around you. You become dull and darkened. You can be. So as we thank God, we see more because why? We're operating in faith. And that's exactly what Hebrews 11:6 says. That we come to Him as God, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So when you seek God, you're seeking Him with your thanksgiving, with your praise, and He rewards. How does He reward? He shows you what to do. He enlightens you. You see. So the moral is, don't gripe and complain. Nobody said, you didn't say, you know, you may not like it, but the point is, you're going to walk through it and get the solution from God. Now let's go over to John chapter 4, and this is an area where we're going to pick up today. John chapter 4, and I want to spend a few minutes on this today. And looking at verse 20 through 24. John chapter 4, looking at verse 20 through 24. You know, the reason I take the time to go over that about thanking God or griping is because that's really where people live. The world is negative. Gripe, 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 gripe. They complain about the job. They complain about the boss. They complain about, you know, when I hear teachers say, now I got to teach 100 people instead of 50. Thank God you got a job. I mean, thank God you got a job. I mean, it's just negative, 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 gripe, 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 complain, you know, instead of just thanking God. And, you know, when you gripe all the time, you see the negative instead of the positive instead of the blessing, you know, and what God may be doing with you there. So John chapter 4 and verse 20, I'm going to read this from two other translations, but I'm going to start in the King James. It says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, I want to highlight two things here. One, Jesus, this is in red, right? So Jesus is speaking here. He said the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, you have to ask yourself, why did Jesus take the time? Why did the Holy Ghost take the time to say true worshipers instead of just worshipers? Because he could have. He could have just said when the worshipers. Well, obviously, there were not true worshipers. And so he distinguished between a worshiper and a true worshiper, which I thought was something to highlight. Now, let me just read this. This is going to be in the Living Bible. This is a paraphrased Bible. And I liked this particular translation because it really expresses, for the New Testament believer, this really expresses it for me the best. It says, "But say, tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped?" Jesus replied, "The time is coming, ma'am, when we will no longer be concerned about whether to worship the Father here or in Jerusalem." So it's not the place of worship. This is what Jesus is saying. Now listen to this. "For it is not where we worship that counts, but how we worship. Is our worship spiritual and real?" That means he said up in the other verse, we're to worship the Father in spirit and truth. Here in this translation he says, "Is our worship spiritual and real? Is it genuine?" Now, this is the part that I really like. It says, "Do we have the Holy Spirit's help? For God is spirit, and we must have his help to worship as we should." That's the piece that I like. You need the Holy Spirit's help to worship in spirit and in truth. You have to. So it's how we worship, and how are we going to worship? By the Spirit's help. And that's the how part. And that will be real and genuine and spiritual. Now, the New International Version, let me read this just verse 23 and 24 in the New International Version. It says, "Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Now listen to this. This is like this. This is verse 24 in the New International. "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." I like that. He says, his worshipers. Well, now I ask you a question. You can't worship him unless you're his. That's number one. First and foremost, you got to be his in order to worship, because you can't be used and have the Holy Spirit help you unless you're his. So I thought that was very good. And then, of course, we know these scriptures, that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you're His, then you're led by the Spirit of God, and you can be used by the Spirit of God to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's genuine. It's spiritual. See? Now, the other scripture that I just use here as a reference, John 10:27, "My sheep hear My voice." See? "And I know them, and they follow Me." So if you're His, you'll hear His voice, and you'll follow Him. And then you can be used by Him to worship. See? And that would be a true and a genuine worshiper. Here's the other thing. Let's go over to Romans. Well, before you go there, don't go there yet. Just stay in John for a second. Let's make this point. I'm going to reference this. Romans says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you spend your time looking at the problem, when you got your mind on the problem, it's carnal. And it's not spiritual. And I'm going to explain why. Praise and thanksgiving invites the presence of God. It invites His presence into your midst. Spiritual people emphasize spiritual things. Carnal people, when I say carnal, fleshly minded, that's all you're thinking about. You're not thinking about God. God is not in your thinking. And that can happen. We could start off, every one of us, we could start off walking the day 90% spiritual and then get over into the flesh because we start thinking about fleshly things and then we just get sidetracked. And the next thing you know, we're all aggravated about something and then we forget. We totally forget about God. Every one of us has been there. Every one of us. We start off spiritual and then get over in the flesh because somebody hits a button and then we're there. And we totally forget about everything spiritual. We just get over in fleshly. And we know it. And then our heart condemns us and we go, why'd I get over there? Why'd I do that? Why'd I say that? Right? And so the key is, when your mind is on spiritual things, and that's a process. That's going to be something you have to exercise. That means you have to feed on the Word of God. That means you have to exercise it. What does that mean? When I have a choice to make, let me just see. No, I'm not going to say what I think. I'm not going to say what I think right now. I'm going to love that person, and I'm not going to say what's coming to my mind. And see, that's exercising myself to be more spiritual-minded. So that means that the more spiritually minded I become, the more I feed on the Word, the more I exercise the Word of God, just like when we exercise naturally, then when I exercise myself spiritually, the more aware I am of spiritual things. If I keep my mind on earthly, carnal things, I'm going to be more aware of that and less aware of what I should be doing spiritually. And boy, every one of us, as we grow spiritually, we look 2, 3, 4 years down the road and we look back and go, ooh, thank God. Thank God I've grown. And so we can see the change of where we were and where we are now. And we can see how carnally minded I was back here. And as I grew, as I developed, as I fellowshipped around God and His Word, I became more spiritually minded. Well, if you can see that, just in your own life, you keep pursuing spiritual things and you keep growing. You become more spiritually minded and more spiritually aware. And so that's the point. Didn't want to be belabor on that, but when we worship God, when we are thinking about God, we're not thinking about other things. When we take the time out to worship God, I like what Brother Marsh uses. He said, worship is vertical Worship is not horizontal. Horizontal, I'm thinking about you. When I'm worshiping God, I'm vertical. I'm not thinking about anything down here on this horizontal plane. I'm not thinking about you. I'm not thinking about the job. I'm not thinking about all the stuff, the pot roast and the pork chops and all of that stuff and what's on the stove. Oh my God, I left this. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about Him. And my mind is on Him. And that's where we are. And if we are over in that realm, then you're kind of in one foot in and one foot out. You see, you're not really in. It's not genuine worship. And again, God already knows that, but He's looking for us to correct and to grow and to be focused on Him when we should be. You just think about natural things. If you love somebody and your attention is on them, you're thinking about all the 99 other things? No, you're thinking about them when you should be. Because otherwise, if you're not thinking about them, they're going to catch wind of that and go, they ain't interested. They're not interested because they got their mind on everything else but me. Isn't that true, Amasa? It's a natural thing. So the opposite of worshiping in the spirit is worshiping in the flesh. And you might say, well, how can you worship in the flesh? I'll give you a real good example. What does worship mean? When Jesus was taken up into a high place, and the devil said, and he showed him all of these kingdoms, and he said to him, I'll give you all of those things if you will do what? No, he said, bow down and worship me. So when you bow down to anything other than God, you're worshiping it. So you can bow down and worship in the flesh. You can worship something. You can worship your job. You could worship another person. You could worship something that's not God. So the opposite of worshiping in the spirit is worshiping in the flesh. It's just carnal. That's all it is. Now, you're in John 4. Look at John 6:63. And we, familiar scripture, but when we talk about, when I read from that translation, he says, do we have the Holy Spirit's help? For God is spirit, and we must have His help to worship as we should. Well, look at John 6:63. It is the Spirit that does what? Quickeneth. What profits nothing? The flesh. So the flesh profits nothing. In the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and life. So when we worship, if it's not by the Spirit's help, then it's flesh, and it profits nothing. Now, I'm going to use this, make this comment. Pastor Clinton used to do this. I've experienced this, and I'm sure every one of you have experienced this. He was a musician. He said a lot of times he would come out, sit at the piano, and he'd use this expression, I'm going to start in the flesh. And he would start in the flesh and then look to who? Look to God for assistance. And he would do what? Quicken his spirit. And the next thing you know, you get over into the spirit and you become more aware of spiritual things because the Spirit of God has quickened your insides. So, here's the point. What you do in the Spirit is expressed through your flesh, but it does not come from the flesh. You understand that? The Spirit of God quickens this mortal body. And when you worship, it is expressed through this physical body. How? With your hands, your lips, your mind, your legs. So spiritual things are expressed through a flesh body, but it's not from the flesh, it's from the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is quickening your heart, you see. But if it's, in other words, what I put down here is that it's expressed through your body, it is not from the flesh, and it is not from a fleshly source. It's expressed through a flesh body, but the source is from God. He quickened me. He's the one that's expressing himself through me, a flesh body. So it's not my carnal thinking. And now if you think about this, somebody who's got their mind on earthly, carnal things, do they express things? Oh, yeah. All the time. And they express it through this flesh body. Where is their source from? Just exactly what we read over in Romans 1:21. It says that when we don't give thanks to God, they're foolish. Minds and hearts were darkened. So their fleshly thinking is what they're expressing through this body. But when God gets in the middle and he quickens, now that's why I said you start in the flesh and he quickens you, but then it's expressed, he's working in you and expressing, you're expressing what he's quickened in you. You see, what is he quickening? He's quickening things that are spiritual. From the Word, he's expressing thanks and praise through you to God. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. If it isn't, just, you know, say no, it doesn't. But the point is that we can start in the flesh, but looking to God as we are, and he quickens us, and then we get over, and then it becomes more tangible and more real in our worship. And that's why it's so important that we don't, just because we don't feel like praising God, just because we don't feel like thanking him, you start anyways. You say, okay, God, I don't feel like praising you today. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyways. And I'm going to look to the Spirit of God to quicken me. Because I've many a times, you start in one place, and the next thing you know, your spirit is just quickened. And you're like, man, what was I tired about? It just lifted. See? Because this flesh body wants to drag you down, wants to just pull you down, and the Spirit of God in you will quicken you. And then you begin to express your love to God, but it's been quickened by the Spirit of God. And that's what this translation is saying. God is a Spirit. We must have His help to worship. Yeah, we do. You need his help. You see. It says, do we have the Holy Spirit's help? God is a Spirit, and we must have his help to worship as we should. So you start where you are, and you're looking to him. So our worship is expressed through the flesh, but it's not from the flesh source. It's from God. It's his help. He's helping us. And that's exactly what John 6:63 said. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. So when your worship is from the flesh, it doesn't profit anything. Now, yes, I just said, you start in the flesh, but you're looking to him. And if you are going there for a while and there's no quickening, you need to stop. If you're doing anything, see, anything that you embark on by the Spirit of God, there should be a quickening. What do I mean by that? Anybody who does anything for the Lord or anything that you do, if it could be a natural thing, you're on your job. If you know that God has ordained you to be there, in that capacity where you are, there should be a quickening with it. Because otherwise, you just plow. You're like, I don't want to get up. Buzzer goes off. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do this. There's no joy in it. Now, you can be tired. You can be exhausted. But there's something down here that says, I know I'm supposed to be doing this. I know it. And that quickening is what motivates you to keep going. You're tired, but there's a quickening. There's a joy. I need to get to work. That's what I'm talking about. The Spirit quickeneth. See, if you keep plowing down a road and the Holy Ghost hasn't directed you to go down that road, at some point it's going to be evident that the Spirit of God, there's no quickening in it. There's no joy in it. And you'll know it. So let's just go back. Let's jump over to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And then we'll just look at these two scriptures here. Then I want to make a couple of points here. Romans chapter 8. And look at verses 4, 5, and 6. We're familiar with these scriptures. It says that, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh. That's who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind. See that word, mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, let me read this from the Good News Translation. It says, those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what the human nature wants. See, I'm thinking about a story Brother Hagin used to tell. He said as a young boy, he said he used to like, he'd call them back then, they call them soda pops, you know, or he'd call them a Coca-Cola. So he said he'd go into town, they'd say, you want a Coke? You want a Coca-Cola? Yeah, I want a Coke. So he'd get a Coke. And then every time he'd go into town, you want a Coke? Yep. So he found himself wanting to go into town to get a Coca-Cola. And it finally, he said, it dawned on me as a young man, this Coke had control over me. The desire for Coke was dominant. And he said, no. When they said, you want a Coke? He said, yeah, I do, but no. Because if that Coke has control over me, something's wrong. And so that's what this is saying. The mind controlled by what the human nature wants. That's fleshly. When your flesh says, I got to have that piece of pie, you have a choice to make. You can say yes or no. See? Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. And that's what we're saying, that when you have the Spirit of God helping and quickening, your mind is yielded and controlled by what the Spirit of God is directing, not what your flesh wants to do. And that's where worship and praise and thanksgiving comes in. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians 21. We're going to just highlight these things here. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Now, I want to highlight three things to be able to identify what is flesh and what is spirit. What is flesh and what is spirit? And these three things you can identify in worship, or praise and thanksgiving in worship. So 1 Corinthians 12, here's the first incident of it. It says, I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now you'll notice that word gifts is italicized. That means it was added by the translators. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It says, you know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, I'm going to read something. I'm going to take the word gifts out. It's added by the translators. And you listen to this from other translations will make it more accurate. I will say it that way. This is from the Young Literal Translation, which is a very old translation. It says, and concerning, this is the way the translators wrote this, and concerning the spiritual things, doesn't call them gifts, it says, and concerning the spiritual things, brethren, I do not wish you to be ignorant. The Holman Christian Standard says in verse 1, about matters of the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. He does talk about gifts, but he's talking about operations, administrations, manifestations. He's talking about spirituals, spiritual matters, and spiritual things. And so the first thing here you can see is, if it's by the Spirit of God, then Jesus is exalted or emphasized. He's magnified, he's glorified, and he's exalted. So if it's in the Spirit, it emphasizes, it magnifies, and it glorifies Jesus. That's when you can begin to determine if it's flesh or it's spiritual. Flesh glorifies flesh. And for years, Brother Hagin said it, and of course Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, because they sat under that ministry, if anything draws attention to a human being, it's flesh. If it draws attention to God and Jesus, then it's spiritual. And as Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, a woman by the name of Reverend Mary Frances Rallo, she said one thing, and it made a lot of sense. She said, if someone disrupts your meeting and you use the name of Jesus and they don't respond, call the police, because it's flesh. That's all it is. Because the devil has to respond to the name of Jesus. And if the person doesn't respond, they're just drawing attention to themselves and they're making a commotion. And, of course, that's what she said, call the police. But the point was that it's not spiritual. It's just flesh. And they're just making a commotion. And Brother Hagin used to say the same thing. Anything that draws attention to an individual, and that can be to disrupt, but it also can be anybody who's in a position of being seen. It can be a singer. It can be somebody get up to do announcements. It can be anything that you do to draw attention. Look what I'm doing. And if it's drawing attention to you purposely, you could come to church and you know how some churches, I've heard this. We've never done this at RLCC, but some churches say, anybody here give $100, and you have people run up and give $100. Anybody give $1,000? To be seen. And when it's to be seen, now, only God knows the heart. I'm not judging or saying that every person that runs up and responds is to be seen. But if it's to be seen, God knows your heart and its flesh. So the point is, if it glorifies Jesus, it's spiritual. And if it glorifies the flesh or the person, it is fleshly. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14 and look at the first verse also, the first few verses. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. See, gifts is italicized. So he's saying here, and desire spirituals. And I'm going to read it from some other translations. It says spiritual things. But rather that you may prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth, now this is what I want you to see here. This is how you can tell the difference between flesh and spirit. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to do to what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, look at verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual, and it says gifts, it's italicized, seek that you may excel to do what? Edifying of the church. Now, listen to verse 1 in the Young's Literal Translation. It says, pursue the love. This is what, see, King James says, follow after charity. This translation says, pursue the love and seek earnestly the spiritual things, and rather that you may prophesy. So we are to seek spiritual things, not carnal, fleshly things. And that's what this translation, of course, the scripture says. We're to seek earnestly the spiritual things. The Amplified in verse 3 says, but on the other hand, the one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching, now listen, speaks to men, it's through this inspired teaching and preaching, speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. That's the purpose of inspired preaching and teaching. It's for, it says this, the Amplified says, it's for their upbuilding, for their constructive spiritual progress, and encouragement and consolation. The New Living Translation says in verse 3, but one who prophesies, and again, this is, we're talking about inspired preaching or teaching, strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. So here's what we're saying. If it's in the Spirit and by the Spirit, it will always edify. It will always edify, meaning it'll provide edification, encouragement, and consolation. If it's by the Spirit. If it's in the Spirit, it will always edify, it will build you up, it will quicken you, it will strengthen you. See, if it's flesh, if it's not doing those things, then it's flesh. You see. Now, when, and I'm going to take a step back here just for a second, because in a church setting, in a family church setting, there are times that you may have to correct someone. Maybe something they're doing needs correction. And I'll say, well, that's not edifying me. That's not encouraging me. Well, the Amplified says here, it's for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress. You see. So there may be times that we may need to be chastised. I'm not saying all the time, but there may be something you're doing. You say, you know what, my brother or sister, you're out of order. But it can be done in a way that you say it, and it's by the Spirit, and that's my point, that it's for their constructive spiritual progress. So, exhortation, edification, and comfort doesn't necessarily mean warm fuzzies. You understand what I'm talking about? You don't do it at home raising your children. I like what somebody just said, shouldn't. That's a good point. So, the Spirit quickeneth. Now, let me just read this. I'm going to read this from 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. He quickens. See, the Spirit quickens or inspires. The flesh profits nothing. When it is done in the flesh, it is wearisome. And learn to recognize when you're doing something, if you are wearied by it, stop and ask the Lord for His help. So it should be something that you're quickened and not wearied by, or weary, you shouldn't be wearisome. If it's dull and boring and dry and wearisome, it's flesh. It can be. It can be flesh. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians. That's number 2. This will be number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. How do we know the difference between flesh and Spirit? And this is all part of still talking about praise, we're still talking about thanksgiving, we're still talking about worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, for and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty. See, when there's true worship and the Spirit has energized it, there's liberty. There's no condemnation, you see. The Good News Translation says, now the Lord is this passage in the Spirit. Now the Lord in this passage is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom. The Amplified says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. Flesh preaching will put you in bondage. So will flesh worship. It'll put you in bondage. So if the preaching is by the Spirit, it sets free. What does the Scripture say? His anointing breaks yokes and lifts burdens. And so does worship. If it's in the Spirit, it breaks yokes and lifts burdens. And of course, Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you can see here, these are three areas where worship is concerned, where the Spirit of God has energized, quickened. You can begin to see the difference between flesh and spirit. One, he said that Jesus is emphasized, he's magnified. That's the first one. And the second one is that when it's by the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is of course, I like what the Amplified says, is that it is inspiring the preaching and teaching. It's saying it's for our upbuilding, constructive spiritual progress, encouragement, and consolation. And it, in other words, it encourages and it lifts up. And of course, we're talking about worship. We're talking about praise and thanksgiving. And then, of course, the last one, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. There's freedom, emancipation from bondage. And, you know, when you say bondage, I'm not trying to focus on Christian churches as much, but when you think about other religions and you look about, think about just some of the, when you look at various religions, a lot of it is focused on where they worship, not so much how. It's the place. They're concerned about a place. If you look at certain, even with the Muslim religion or Islam, it's the place. They focus on the place, not so much on the how. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. So it's very outward. It's very physical. The place is important. They want you to travel either to a mosque or overseas to Mecca. So it's the place that counts, not necessarily the how. Even with, I'm thinking of the Catholic Church, was the place. A lot of it was the place and not the how we worship. And so we can get into the same rut, even in the Word of Faith Church, you can get hung up on the place and not how we worship. And it's the Spirit of God. We can worship God. Yes, we are to assemble one with another. There's strength. And when we come together, the Spirit of God ministers through those who are authorized to do that. There's collective worship that goes on and corporate worship. God begins to speak to the body. So there is a place, and there's scripture in Hebrews that says when we see the day appearing, we're to not forsake the assembling with one another. We're to do that. But we can worship God in our car just as good as I can, here. So it's how we worship, not the place. Now, that's not to diminish or to say we shouldn't come together and worship. But you can worship God just as well. In your bathtub or the shower. Because it's from your heart. And when the Spirit of God energizes that and gets in the middle of it, that's worship. And it doesn't have to be a sad song either. It should be a joyful, joyful noise. I will bless the Lord at all times, and I will magnify him.